This is Rusty Gaffney, the Prince of Pinot, and we've got Pinophile Live. This is Volume 6, Issue 53. And today I'm featuring one of my favorite wineries, Westmar, whose tagline is Palate Pleasing Pinot. The name Westmar comes from Denise Salem's middle name, which is Mary, and her husband, Kirk Hubbard, whose middle name is Wesley. Now, both Denise and Kirk got their start in wine working for William Salem Winery for a number of years. They actually met working at a Costco in the Bay Area. Eventually, Ed Salem talked them into joining Bert and himself at William Salem. And they developed their winemaking experience there. And after the winery was sold in 1997, they remained around for a while and then decided to start their own winery, which began in 2000. And basically, the Westmar Winery is modeled after the original William Salem Winery, which started out in a small garage set up on Fulton Road in Santa Rosa. It was a two-man operation, Burt Williams, Ed Salem. They did everything themselves. They reinvested their profits, built their company label slowly and carefully. Didn't do a lot of marketing, didn't have a tasting room. And this is pretty much the model that Denise and Kirk have followed. In fact, you're probably saying to yourself, well, if Westmar makes such great Pinot Noir, how come I haven't heard of them or seen scores in the major wine trade magazines? Well, the fact is that Kirk and Denise, first of all, are a modest couple. They really do not look to be in the limelight. And they don't submit their wines for comparative judging to anyone. They really let their wines speak for themselves. They've got 7 vintages now under their belt, and it was only recently that they actually did their first winemaker dinner, which was at a golf club owned by Clint Eastwood in Monterey. They really focus all their energies on winemaking and not on marketing. That's not to say that they're not in touch with their customer base, because they love to have visitors by appointment who come and taste. They have been reluctant to sell their wines directly on the internet because they really prefer the close connection they have with customers who purchase their wines. You know, I call this a honest and unadulterated winery because it's very pure and basic, and really comes all down to the two people behind it. And it's a very interesting arrangement because in today's world, it's very rare to find a husband-wife team who run their own winery and who both share equally in all of the winery duties, including winemaking. Now, there are a couple distinctive hallmarks of Westmar. I call it Westmar. Denise says it's Westmar, but for some reason I just can't get out of calling it Westmar, and she doesn't seem to make a big deal about it. First of all, there is consistency from one vintage to the next and one bottle after another, regardless of the vineyard source. I can honestly say I've been drinking Westmar Pinot Noir for 6 years and have never had a bad bottle. Secondly, their several bottlings from each vintage are all unique. Denise likes to say that people tend to gravitate toward that which is familiar, and this is even more true with wines. They expect the winemaker to replicate the success of a particular vineyard or vintage. So what Denise and Kirk try to do is to make wines that have individual personalities. They offer very similar levels of richness and flavor, but each vintage, each vineyard is distinct on its own. Now, every knowledgeable winemaker today knows the, quote, recipe for Pinot Noir. But really, it's the small decisions, the artistry along the way, that make a difference in the finished wine. And I have spoken at length with Denise about Westmar's winemaking regimen. And I'm convinced that the intoxicating aromas, the irrepressible flavors, and the attractive textures that Westmar Pinot Noirs exhibit originate in intuition, experience, a deft touch, and hands-on, labor-intensive commitment every step of the way. If you go back to William Salem again in the 80s when they got their label going, they did everything hands-on with extreme labor-intensive techniques. And Pinot Noir is the one grape that responds to this type of hands-on care. And you see this in the Westmar wines as well. They don't have all of the modern technology, just like William Salem when they started. They couldn't afford all the modern fancy gadgets. Denise and Kirk pressed their wine using an old bladder press that was once used for apples. Their fermentations are in 5-ton double-wall rectangular open-top stainless steel milk shipping containers. And these actually were used by Bert and Ed at William Salem. And they have the advantage of maximizing surface area with reference to height and weight. Of course, all their punch-downs are by hand. They use portable glycol heaters to maintain temperature control during fermentation. The grape skins are all removed by hand, meaning put into buckets. The entire process is gravity flow. They spend a lot of time in their vineyards. They pay a lot of attention to the correct time for harvesting, realizing that if you make a mistake, you really can't correct this by any winemaking technique. Destemming will vary depending on the vineyard and vintage. Usually they use about a third whole cluster, but feel that if you use too much whole cluster, it can detract from the early drinkability of wine that most consumers prefer. They don't use any cold soak, which is a bit different from many producers nowadays. And they inoculate the must with yeast, usually within 24 to 36 hours. Depending on how cold the grapes are when they arrive at the winery. Their fermentations are rather short, 7 to 10 days. Aging is carried out in Francois Frere's oak barrels. Of course, there's no fining or filtering, and really it's unnecessary because the wines are lovingly tendered in small lots and constantly monitored for stability. All of the good stuff, the good flavor nuances, are kept in the wine, because there's very little manipulation or intervention. One of the things that I like most about the Westmar wines are the flamboyant aromatics, and this is not surprising since Denise has such an aromatic fetish and spends a lot of time smelling her wines, as she puts it, devouring the nose. The ultimate compliment for a Pinot Noir, she says, is an aroma that dances in the glass. Asked to describe her wines, as she touts, aromatic, fruit-forward, not overly ripe, with balanced acidity, complementary fruit tannins, and subtle oak impressions, which display richness of flavor and finishes with a cloying mouthfeel and flavors that linger long after the wine has left the mouth. In other words, palate-pleasing Pinot Noir. Kirk and Denise are a great couple. I would encourage you to visit and taste and meet them. They recently purchased a modest farmhouse on 10 acres just outside the town of Sebastopol, which previously contained an apple orchard like many properties in the area. And their future plans are to plant a Pinot Noir vineyard and have an estate bottling to complement the purchased grapes that they use in their other bottlings. I recently tasted through the 2005 lineup of Westmar wines and thoroughly enjoyed them all. The current releases are the 2006 vintage. They include a Salzgerber Vineyard, which is on West Side Road, Russian River Vineyard, Baletto Vineyard, Sonoma Coast, Ullman Vineyard, Russian River Valley, a Sonoma Coast Appellation Pinot Noir, and a Russian River Appellation Pinot Noir. Most of the, well, all of the wines are produced in small quantities, 157 to 355 cases. And they're really sensibly priced from $35 to $45. Really, that's kind of the sweet spot for really ultra-premium fine Pinot Noir. I might add also that the wines age quite well. I've tasted wines going back to 2001 in the recent year or two, and they held up extremely well. Westmar is actually located in the apple processing plant on Highway 116 in Sebastopol. There are many notable wineries in this facility, such as Costa Brown and Willowbrook and others. Their website is westmarwinery.com. The other thing Westmar does, which I really like, is they bottle all their wines in magnums. And if you're a magnum freak like I am, boy, it's nice to be able to purchase the magnums. And they're only priced twice the cost of a single bottle. Nice people, nice wines, highly recommended. There are a couple other wineries that were featured in this issue that I should mention briefly. One of them is Casari Pinot Noir. And actually, I have a glass here that I poured recently, and I'm drinking. And wow, this is a great wine. It's funny, I was up in the Russian River and I was prowling through a retail wine shop and I saw a few bottles of this in a bin, and it said low production, I think 48 cases. And I never heard the brand, never heard of it, although I had heard of Peter's Vineyard, which the grapes came from in the Sonoma Coast. So I bought a bottle, and when I got home, I opened it up. I said, wow, this is darn good. So I got a hold of the winemaker, and his name's Michael Peters, and along with Drake Johnson, they founded this label in 2004. Casari is a type of bird. It's a flightless bird, rare, located in Indonesia, New Guinea, Australia, and it's the third largest bird in the world. It actually can kill humans. It's so big and powerful, but fortunately prefers snails and snakes and frogs and fruit. So I asked Michael, how you named your wines after Casari, what's the deal? And he said, well, Casari is a rare bird, perfection and paradise all in one. And so this represents what their wine is like. Actually, Michael's made wine for 15 years. This is just another one of those young people who are pursuing their dream to make great wine. So this would be a wine I highly recommend. It's aged 15 months and 50% new oak, but everything is beautifully integrated here. Delicious strawberry and cherry fruits are carried on a very light and elegant frame. It has a lingering strawberry-scented finish, just the right amount of acid tang, very gossamer tannins. This is really what Pinot Noir should be and so often isn't. This is a great wine for buying and drinking now, and I'd highly recommend it. Check out the website, CasariWine.com. Morlaix Family Vineyards have just released their first wines. Luc Morlaix grew up on his family domain in Champagne. His father is a fifth-generation wine-growing family in Champagne. And a number of years ago, Luc moved to the Napa Valley and became the head winemaker at Peter Michael. And actually, his brother Nick is now the winemaker at Peter Michael. He decided to start his own label with the release of the 2006 Pinot Noirs. His style really is more California rich and intense than understated French. He spares no expense. He sources from special vineyards in the Sonoma Coast. He coopers in 100% French oak, bottles in heavy glasses with long, expensive corks, impressive packaging. I tasted through all three of the Sonoma Coast Pinot Noirs. They're all quite similar, but still have subtle differences. The Jolie Coeur, that's J-O-L-I-C-O-E-U-R bottling, was my favorite, although I was perfectly happy with all of the wines. It also happens to be the most expensive at $90. There are only about 100 cases made. This is really a wine for lovers of a hedonistic, full-throttle style of Pinot Noir. Check them out. They're not cheap, but they're very, very impressive wines. And if you like that style, if you like the Cali-esque, fruit-forward style of Pinot Noir, these are wines that you will enjoy. The website is MorlaisWines.com. Give them a try. In this issue, I also did some feature on a winery in Potter Valley. You say, where the heck is Potter Valley? Well, Potter Valley is a Mendocino appellation that you rarely see on wine labels. It's located about 18 miles northeast of Ukiah and close to Lake County in Northern California. And there was an excellent article on Potter Valley written by Virginie Boone in Savoir Wine Country magazine in 2007. And surprisingly, there's some good Pinot being grown in this area. There's really no amenities here, no lodging or restaurants. It's not really a tourist area. Ukiah provides most of the needed services for the region. But the fact is that it's a unique microclimate. Things grow well there, and wine grapes seem to really like it. The daytime temperatures can be rather high, but the night times are very cold, so there are large diurnal temperature shifts. There's early morning river fog every day, and plenty of water is available for irrigation. There are some frost and botrytis pressure and rain pressure, but in general, Pinot Noir has performed well here, and there are a number of vineyards, a number of wineries that access grapes from here that you probably didn't realize. Wineries like Kalen Cellars, Old World Winery, Chateau Montalina, Dash Cellars, Bray and Polly Winery, Barra of Mendocino, and so forth. I tasted a couple of Pinot Noirs from Naughty Boy. This is a curious label with a picture of a little dog on the front. Actually, the owners, Jim and MJ Scott, are refugee artists. They call themselves aging hipsters that escaped San Francisco in 1989 and settled in Potter Valley. And they have a 5-acre organically farmed vineyard, first planted in the late 1990s. They handle, of course, everything from growing to bottling and selling their wines. The label is quite unique. It portrays the Scots' faithful winery dog, little Ricky. Their winemaker is Gregory Graziano, who also farms his own vineyard in Potter Valley. Interesting Pinot Noir. I had the 2004 and 2005, and they're really quite unique. They're not going to be like Russian River or Santa Rita Hills or Central Coast Pinot Noir. They kind of have a certain appealing wildness to them. The aromatics are wild berries and herbs and allspice. There's exotic fruits, strange spices going on in the flavor profile. But the wines have really excellent acidity. I call them a mysterious Pinot Noir, and it'd be a fun wine to have at a blind tasting and try to guess where it's from. But the wines are inexpensive, $27, and really quite fun to drink. The website is naughtyboyvineyards.com. The wines are distributed in California and sold on the website. So these are something for the adventurous, those seeking distinctive artisan Pinot Noir that isn't running with the usual crowd. There's some very interesting wineries here that I've profiled, and check them out. Go out and drink some good Pinot today.